This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Panasys, the leading supplier of high-performance parallel storage for technical computing applications and big data workloads. www.panasys.com.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
News recap from Supercomputing Conference.
More announcements from Salt Lake City.
Good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for November 20th, 2012, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. You made it back home okay?
Yeah, I made it back from Salt Lake City without a scratch. How about you?
Yep, we've got American Thanksgiving coming up in 2 days. Are you feeling thankful?
I am thankful. I'm thankful that the most intense week of the year for high-performance computing is over for the year.
That's right. Well, there's always a lot of follow-up to do afterwards, and there's even follow-up for us because, of course, even though we lay in additional podcasts while we're at supercomputing, there's so many announcements we can't quite keep up with them all.
Yeah, I think about half the news for the year comes around these 2 weeks surrounding SC, and I think, we can't cover everything, obviously, and we're not going to cover everything today, but we're going to hit some of the highlights that we want to talk about that we missed during our on-site coverage.
Yeah, and they fall into a couple of buckets. Most notably, I think there's a lot of news on the storage side that we didn't really cover much while we were there, and we did mention that big data was such a pervasive theme, and a lot of the storage vendors came out with big data-oriented news, or in a few cases, some very scalable exascale news.
Right, we saw announcements from Cray and then DDN and
Zyrtex, NetApp. There are a lot of press releases out there.
Yeah, and even before the show, we had something from Panasys. I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago that was a setup for this. So yeah, there's a lot of activity around storage.
Now we briefly, when we were talking about Cray on a previous podcast, mentioned that they had a Synexion announcement, the Cray Synexion 1600, that kind of got lost underneath all the other Cray news. But the Cray Synexion 1600 got launched, and this is the storage behind the Blue Waters platform, the very scalable Cray platform.
Right, that's like 25 petabytes, I think, that's going into that system, or that went into that system. Presumably it's deployed by now since that system is up and running. So yeah, that was a huge bucket of storage for that one system.
Yeah, it's a lot of system, and it's a lot of bandwidth. It goes up to throughput from 5 gigabytes a second up to a terabyte a second in a single file system. So it's a lot of bandwidth that they're setting up for Blue Waters. Now this is based on the Zyrtex ClusterStor 6000, which was previously announced back in June, but a continuation of the Cray Zyrtex partnership.
Right, exactly. And then we saw the DDN announcement during the show, or maybe right before it, about the SFA 7700. That's their hybrid system that incorporates SSDs, I think, for the first time.
That's right. It's a hybrid system, and it is specifically targeted at a lot of these big data areas where they're, again, going for a high IOPS. This is embedding a lot of the SSDs, as you said, into the SFA 7700, so a continuation of the SFA line. But that wasn't even DDN's only announcement. They also announced during the show that they had a $100 million investment that they were making in exascale computing.
Yeah, that's a significant investment in exascale. I mean, they like to be at the top of the rung here in HPC, and I think they intend to be that for the next 5 to 10 years. And this is a big push into that territory.
Right. Now, DDN was also tied into one of these fast forward initiatives from DOE, but what I'm getting is that this $100 million investment is separate from that fast forward investment, or at least not directly related. This is DDN's own money that they're talking about sinking in here.
Right. I think they have their fingers in a lot of pies at exascale right now. And yeah, DDN is definitely pushing harder, I think, than anybody on the storage side to be the vendor for exascale.
And then finally, on the storage side, NetApp announced its high-performance storage rack, its HPS rack. This is an extension of the E series, again focused at big data types of application workloads.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons probably we're seeing so much is because of the big data push. I mean, even we talked about ActiveStore, the 14 series a while ago, and again, another SSD hybrid system where it was oriented towards big data, although again, they were focused on HPC, but the big data type applications underneath that domain.
Right. Now, I should mention, since we're on storage, and because I mentioned in the preview that Oracle was indeed back, they had a booth and I was able to drop by. It seems like mostly what they're talking about there is on the storage side, not on the compute side. They've got a Hadoop cluster and an OSQL environment for big data, and they're in there still talking about the storage tech, tape libraries, ZFS storage appliances. So, you know, welcome back, Oracle.
Yeah, well, I thought that was interesting. They showed up again, maybe because, you know, HPC is pulling in these big data applications and they see the opportunity there, whereas for whatever reason they didn't see it on the compute server side. But yeah, they seem interested in the storage market here in HPC now.
Well, I think even the compute people are looking at big data types of initiatives, as well as interconnect and cloud, as they should. Let's take a look at all these things. And in fact, I participated in a big data debate in the adaptive computing booth with a great panel of other people. So that was a lot of fun. I think a lot of the vendors were talking about big data as was appropriate, and we're seeing that reflected in a lot of these announcements, especially on the storage side.
Okay, speaking of InfiniBand, let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about some of the things we saw in the interconnect space.
You got it.
Panasus provides its global customers with unmatched scale-out NAS performance and easy-to-manage storage solutions for their most compute-demanding applications. Panasus ActiveStore enables customers to rapidly solve complex computing problems, speed innovation, and accelerate new product introductions. All Panasus storage products deliver superior performance, data protection, scalability, and manageability, and are optimized for demanding storage environments in the bioscience, energy, finance, government, manufacturing, and university markets. For more information on the Panasus ActiveStore Parallel Storage Solution for technical computing applications and big data workloads, visit www.panasus.com.
All right, Michael, so we covered a lot of the storage announcements. Now, we managed to get through that without talking about Mellanox at all, despite the fact that I think Mellanox may have set the record for most press releases issued during a single supercomputing conference.
Right. I think we saw something like 9 press releases all in a row there. That was,
yeah.
That's got to be some kind of record. They needed
all coming across.
They needed an Editor's Choice Award just for that, I think. But,
Well, let's pick any of those that particularly interested you, Michael.
Well, they announced the 12-port FDR switch, but the one that was sort of most interesting to me, and I don't know how big an announcement this is from their point of view, but they're getting into the long-haul InfiniBand space. They have a solution now.
Metro X
that goes, I guess, up to 10 kilometers right now for long-distance InfiniBand, which is very interesting.
I agree. You know, as much as the 12-port FDR is an important storage-level switch or smaller-scale switch, they needed that for product line completeness. I think Metro X is the more interesting announcement here. 10 kilometers for InfiniBand is a pretty big deal, and they're working on 100.
Right. That would be somewhat amazing. Now, they've got some competition there. There's been Obsidian that's been in this sort of long-haul InfiniBand market for a while. I think they got into it from the defense space who wanted this for various reasons. But obviously, Mellanox saw an opportunity there, and you know they own a lot of the InfiniBand IP, so if there's a market, why not get into that, I guess?
Yep. Now, you know, they had a lot of other releases, too. They talked about what they were having for lunch and who they were picking in the football games.
Right.
But, you know, our listeners can go check out all the Mellanox releases. But I agree, those were the two main ones. And that's not all the news we picked up. You had another one that you were looking at that you thought was interesting and underappreciated from our previous coverage.
Well, right. I think maybe we might have mentioned this last time when we talked about Top 500, but InfiniBand has kind of surged ahead in the top 500 list. I was basically, you know, sort of breaking even with Ethernet as far as the distribution across those 500 computers, and it was kind of flirting with, I think it was one or two up last time, but all of a sudden it's dominant. There's like 224 of them to Ethernet's 189. But the more interesting thing is Gig E is sort of falling off the cliff a little bit. There's only 159 of those, I should say only, because last year there were 210, so they lost about 50 of them. Now, Gig E, or 10 Gig E, is actually coming on stronger to fill some of that gap. There was 14 10 Gig E systems in 2011, and now there's twice as many. There's 30.
Well, that's to be expected, though, that you see these generational speed ups, right? So Gig E should be falling off, 10 Gig E should be coming on. And if you looked at the different speeds of InfiniBand, you know, I'm sure you're seeing FDR coming up and DDR falling off, right? But your global point that InfiniBand continues to gain among the top 500 is spot on. Now, you know, you're going to have a discussion about whether or not that's adequately representative of the industry at large, but still shows momentum there for InfiniBand at the high end.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the 10 gig E thing for me was like we were just waiting for when that thing would take off, because they've been talking about this forever, at least the vendors have, that the 10 gig E is going to take off this year and then this year and then this year. And at least in HPC, at least in the top 500, it seems to have found that inflection point. And yeah, but right now it's probably going to still be second fiddle to InfiniBand for quite a while, but yeah, it's moving fast right now, and there's a bunch of vendors, including Mellanox, who's supporting that technology.
Any final stories you want to sweep up while we're finishing our coverage of SC12?
Well, some of the most interesting news I saw that we sort of missed, although we did one article on it in HPC Wire, was the ARM GPU connection. Some of these systems that are coming up, we covered an Italian integrator that's working with some Seiko boards that I guess was supplying some of these ARM GPU boards to the Mount Blanc project that were playing around with these, and they productized those. This Italian company called E4 Computer Engineering, and basically it's servers that are being powered by, you know, NVIDIA Tegra chips, which are ARM GPU integrated chips that are going into notebooks and tabs and even smartphones. And they hooked up that to a Quadro GPU, also from NVIDIA, and they're using that to drive these servers, and they made these mini clusters out of them. And yep. Supposedly, I talked to them, they're getting a lot of interest from those, but mostly in Europe, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with E4, and they're, you know, tinkering with these new technologies that are on a lot of people's roadmaps going forward.
Yeah, and the Europeans seem really interested in the ARM technology right now. I mean, this is sort of an odd configuration. I mean, the Tegra chips are sort of the GPU and ARM integration, and they picked the visual or the graphics GPU from NVIDIA to do the heavy-duty work, but it is something that worked for them. They've integrated this, and they've made two different flavors of this cluster. But yeah, that's an interesting development there, and we'll see how that plays out. I mean, the Seiko is actually the board maker there, so they're the integrators, but Seiko is actually putting those things together at the board level.
There's a tie from this to the Mont Blanc project, right?
Right, and I thought when they started playing around with this particular sort of pre-production version of this, that they would go on and build some sort of NVIDIA thing that was, you know, maybe used Tesla or something else. But actually, during the show or right before, actually I think on Monday, the Mont Blanc project announced they were going to go with Samsung as sort of the initial platform. And Samsung has this chip that's being used in mobile computing that has an ARM and GPU integrated. In this case, it's an ARM CPU and then an ARM, what they call an ARM Mali GPU for the computational part. And the guys in Spain at Mount Blanc decided to go with this. So that was an interesting development. I mean, I wasn't really expecting that, but Samsung is sort of trying to get into the server business. And this is Samsung's entry into HPC.
It's all interesting stuff, Michael, and I'm glad we're getting as much of it covered as we did. It was a very busy week in Salt Lake City, but it's always one of my favorite weeks of the year also.
It is. That was a fun show, and a lot of new stuff going on, and some of this stuff obviously we're going to follow up on as they develop some of this.
Yep. Well, after four podcasts in the last week and a half, let's take a deep breath. We're going to take this Friday off for the American Thanksgiving holiday, and then next Friday we'll resume our regular podcast schedule, at least for a few weeks until we hit the Christmas New Year holidays.
Sounds good, Addison. Thanks for talking to me on the show, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Panasys, the leading supplier of high-performance parallel storage for technical computing applications and big data workloads. www.panasys.com.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.